Amen. My, my, my. Luke chapter number 12 today. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Guys, I got a small ring up here. If you could maybe just back me off just a hair. Luke chapter number 12. And if you're there, if you'll stand in honor and reverence the Word of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Will you let the Bible help you? Let the Bible help you this morning. Luke 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you which taketh thought can add his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, we love you today. God, I'm so thankful to be in this place. Lord, I believe with all my heart, God, that I could go home right now and say it's been good to be in church today. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd take the bread of life. Lord, your words. God, I need you to use me. Lord, I know that, God, there's nothing within myself. Lord, it is the Word of God. Lord, and I ask, God, that you get me out of the way. And God, would you preach through me? God, if there's something that I should say, would you bring it to my mind? If there's something that I should not say, God, would you withhold my tongue? God, that your word could be an encouragement. Lord, could be a light today to someone. Lord, I believe with all my heart there's someone underneath the sound of my voice, God, that needs this message. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that the sower as being sowed would fall on good ground. Lord, that your word would not return void. We love you today. Thank you for being a good God. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Me and my wife was getting groceries the other day, and I don't know about you, but as we are a part of Food Line. I don't know if you're a part of it, but it's called the MVP program. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And they scan those groceries, and what I like to do is, now she's different from me, she'll go and scan that card first. But I like to do it at the very end because it just shows you how good of a discount you're getting. And, you know, it's kind of like shouting ground. And I don't know about you, but we've gotten groceries, and by the way, let me just say God's been good to me, and I'm not complaining, but how many of you agree with me today that prices on things have gone up? There's been a large, what we call inflation, that's taking place. Our economy is in crisis mode. Fuel has never been as expensive. Things around our world are going crazy, and within our local church here at Abernacle Baptist Church, I hear multiple people, I'm talking multiple people, that are in a job crisis. Whether they own a business and their business is suffering, or they got to switch jobs because of a circumstance, or their job is cutting back pay and different amenities. And we look around our world today and things are in crisis mode. And I'm reminded of the disciples both prior to this text. You must remember that Jesus has called them to leave the net, leave fishing, leave your career. And the Bible says that immediately they followed him. Now, that sounds good and spiritual, but you need to understand that these disciples had no income. They had no money. They did not know where the paycheck was coming from. They did not know the next time. That's why they get on the boat and they begin to ask Jesus about food. And he has to remind them that I just got done feeding the 5,000. So we have to understand the context. The disciples were unsure of the next paycheck, unsure of the next meal. And that's when Jesus begins to explain to them, take no thought for your life. You know, Corrie ten Boom said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Warren Wiersbe said this, most Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worries. Someone said this, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. You realize today that 6.8 million United States adults have generalized anxiety disorder. In verse number 22, if you will, I want you to notice the phrase Jesus says, take no thought. He says, take no thought. Verse number 25, we see the phrase taking thought. In verse number 26, again, we see the phrase take ye thought. Verse number 29, we see the phrase this, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Now, you may be here this morning and say, preacher, I've never had a struggle in my life. Everything's been sunshine, rainbows, unicorns. That's fine. But here's what I know. If you've served God for any length of time, you're going to be challenged on your faith. There are going to be times in your job where you don't know. Things are kind of cloudy and things get uncertain. There'll be times in your walk where you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and next week. There's times of uncertainty. And listen to me, child of God. We are living in times of material uncertainty. But Jesus, the Lord, wants to tell you through His Word, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. In fact, He tells the disciples multiple times, take no thought. You know what that means? Don't worry about it. Take no thought means to not worry. I want you to notice that I want to preach to you on this thought. Look with me, verse number 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. But notice this phrase, please. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. God knows. God knows. God knows where you're at this morning. He knows what's tomorrow. He knows next week. He knows even though you're living in a day where you can't see tomorrow. Listen, I serve a God that still holds tomorrow. I serve a God that still sees in the next week. And listen, He's wanting us to know today, I know. I'm your Father, and I know that you have need of these things. This word, take thought, means to be anxious. It means to be troubled with cares. It means to worry. When I look at the life of the disciples, they were most likely worried. They were anxious. They didn't understand. But the Lord is telling them not to worry. That's a bold statement, isn't it? I mean, how can you tell when your job is in the balance, when money's in the balance, how can we really not worry? I believe with all my heart it comes supernaturally from the Holy Spirit of God. Not to worry. He's going to tell them three things, and I believe if we apply these three truths today, it will help us to live in the generation in which we're living. Number one, we see a consideration to fathom. A consideration to fathom. The Lord wants them to consider two things. The first thing is found in verse 24. He says, consider the ravens. Consider, in other words, He's telling the disciples, listen, I know that you don't know where your next money's coming from, your next food, you're not able to fish, you're not able to take care of yourself, but I just want you for a moment, I want you to consider the ravens. We study the ravens, we find that these birds are different than all other animals. We look at ants, and ants store up for food. Bears know how to eat and make it through the winter. Squirrels prepare for a season of no food. But when He says, consider the ravens in verse 24, He says, they don't sow nor reap. In other words, they don't plant and they don't reap. They don't harvest what they planted. These ravens do not prepare for a season of no food. He says, yet take careful note, the birds, they don't worry. They do work. And can I take a time out right here and say that the birds don't just sit with open mouths expecting God to fill them. Early bird gets the worm. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're out working, but what they eat today does not help them for tomorrow. They don't sow nor reap. They cannot store up food in the barn for winter. They don't have a refrigerator. They don't have a pantry where they can just go in and know that they've got food that will last them. They don't have a way to plan and organize their next meal. We met one of our neighbors who lives behind the church. Her name's Kim. She's been renting out this house for about a year and a half. And she's got chickens too. In fact, her rooster will get in crowing matches with my rooster. And they'll begin to crow back and forth. And we was able to meet her. And she says she's got this thing. I'm going to butcher the word, y'all. It pretty much plucks chickens for you. I don't know the proper terminology. But she said, anytime you want to get meat birds, you come out here. I've got a chicken plucker. We'll just call it a chicken. I got a chicken plucker to pluck your chickens for you. Sheena and my wife, man, my wife's over there. She talked about canning food. Man, my wife was getting sucked in. I said, you met your new friend, didn't you? She said, yeah, I did. She was talking to us on ways of how to preserve food, the canning process and refrigeration. But we need to understand this morning that when Jesus says, consider the ravens, they don't have a way to do that. In fact, they're tomorrow. If we could all just say this, we're probably, if we didn't make any money, we're probably good for about a week. Maybe two, maybe even a month, right? He says, the ravens don't even worry about tomorrow. They don't have a plan. But yet, look what he says. And God, verse 24, and God feedeth them. God feedeth them. Psalms 147:9 says, he giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Job 38:41 says, who provideth for the raven his food? Who does it? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. And then he says this, verse 24, God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? How much more? This word more, I began to study, it means how great. It means a greater degree. It means better, to excel. You are greater value. The Bible tells us as we study Scripture that all around the world these little ravens are crying out and God feeds them. And as he's telling the disciples this, he says, listen, you're not a bird. Listen, I don't care what the history books tell you. I don't care what the science books tells you. You're not a monkey. You're not an animal. You're not a bird. But listen to me. He says, your Father, God feeds them. And if God feeds them, you're better. You're greater. You're of greater degree than these birds. I'm going to feed you. Listen, consider the raven this morning. Listen, I know it's easy preaching, hard living. I know times are going to get tough. And listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't know if it's going to get better. I don't. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't think that if you pray, God's going to send you $1 million in the mail. It may get worse. But here's what I know. God's going to take care of us. He says, consider the ravens. He says, not only, disciples, I want you to consider the ravens, but there's another thing I want you to consider. Consider the lilies. Verse 27, consider the lilies. Lilies, and when you study your Bible, we would know today in our vernacular that a lily is a specific type of flower, but in the New Testament, lilies are a general word for all flowers. He says these lilies, verse 27, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. That word toil means to work and labor. He says they don't spin. Spin means to draw out and to twist into threads, either by hand or machinery. Gives the idea of someone like the Proverbs 31 woman who sews and prepares clothes. He says this, he said, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Kings, you study, I'm not going to go into it, but you study King Solomon's temple. His throne was made of ivory. It was overlaid with gold. All of the King Solomon's drinking vessels were pure gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest were come from the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. He was so rich that he didn't even accept silver. They were all gold. And so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. You study the history of Solomon's temple. They come from all around the world just to see the beauty of Solomon's temple. And Jesus says this, I've arrayed the lilies. Consider the lilies. And he says in verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? How much more, how much greater value to him are you than these things? Church, listen to me. If we're not careful, we're going to really drive ourselves into worry about material things. You realize that Jesus is dealing with the necessities of life. Food and warmth and clothing. He's dealing with the basic necessities. And if we're not careful, listen to me. We'll get on the news, we'll get on social media, we'll listen to what other people are saying, it'll drive us into a fear of anxiety and depression. Listen, I wish I could tell you that I was perfect, that I didn't worry about these things. I don't worry for myself, but I worry about my children and my grandchildren and their children growing up in this mess. But here's what I know, the same God that takes care of me is the same God that'll take care of my children and the same God that'll take care of my grandchildren. And here's the thing about it, we are here for such a time as this. And he's telling the disciples, listen, consider the ravens, consider the lilies. I believe the worry that we have over material things is because we have a low understanding of God. We don't understand him in his fullness. We don't comprehend how much he loves and cares for us. Jesus says, I want you to consider these things. I know you're worried. I know, listen, I get it. I know you're worried. I pulled you out in the ministry. You're following me. You're pursuing after me. You're doing good. And I know that materialistically things don't make sense, but consider the ravens. I'm going to take care of them, so I'm going to take care of you. Consider the lilies. I've clothed with the most beautiful of flowers, more beautiful than Solomon. I'm going to clothe you. But then number two, he gives us a command to follow. A command to follow. A consideration to fathom. Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. He's going to take care of them. But then number two, a command to follow. Verse 29. And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Now, listen to me. Do not leave church today. How many of you are going to leave church today and go get you something to eat? Would you raise your hand? Okay, some of you is lying. That's all right. I'll just assume that you're spiritual and you're fasting on Sunday, okay? But most of us, normal folks, are going to go get us something to eat. I'm not saying, Jesus is not saying don't go get something to eat. But I want you to notice there's a word that starts with an S. It says, and seek not. That word seek means to pursue after. It means to crave. It means to desire. It means that the only thing on our mind is the necessities of what how we're going to take care of. It's what's on our mind is materialistic things. The Lord is telling us not to be concerned with eating and provision for our family. Because when we worry about these things, we can be so consumed that we begin to pattern our life after the world. How many believe that the Lord's going to take care of you? Would you just say amen? We believe that. And listen, I know if we're not careful, we begin to worry. Dads, we begin to worry about taking care of our family. Can I remind you this morning that God's saying, listen, don't worry. Do you realize when he says take no thought, that's a command? Do not worry. The command he gives the disciples, he says, listen, seek not, do not worry. Seek not, verse 29, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. The Bible describes a rich man based on what he wears and how he eats. Luke 16:19, we talk about the rich man that went to hell. The Bible says that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. There was his clothing. Man, he was pursuing after having the good stuff, the good clothing. And then it says he fared sumptuously every day. That means he ate well. He ate every day. Jesus tells us not to pursue and to be caught up in the necessities of life because the Lord's going to take care of it. I believe there's good people in our church that you may not financially, you may be, you're not consumed with the world and you do well. Jesus isn't talking about just blowing your mind. He's talking about, listen, I know that there are people, my disciples, they're worried about just getting food on the table. And church, listen, there may be a time where we get there. In fact, you may be there right now. In fact, you just met a young lady who was there. That's who Jesus is talking to. He says, listen, seek not after those things. Don't live your life pursuing, oh man, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to put food on the table? And man, I got this coming up. Listen, I know this is easy preaching, hard to live, but how am I going to do this with my job? And this is going on, and how am I going to get this paycheck? And I got to do this, I got to do that. Jesus says three times, stop. Stop. Take no thought. Quit worrying. That's easy preaching, hard living, isn't it? That is a continual thought process. Oh, I got to take that imagination. I got to cast it down. Okay, Lord, that's right. That's right, Lord. I got to remember the ravens. Lord, if you took care of these birds, Lord, you take care of the, you take care of the, Lord, you're going to take care of me. Seek not. Don't let it consume you. Don't, he says in verse number 30. Or excuse me, verse number 29. He says, neither be of a doubtful mind. That is doubting that God is really going to take care of us. It's living a life of constant worry. And then verse number 30, he says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. When we live a life of worry and of doubtful mind, he says, you're living like the world. He says, all these nations, that's what they do. You know what, society will tell our children? Graduate high school, go to college, get a good job, make a lot of money, get a nice house, and die. That's what they're telling them. While they're brainwashing them about liberalism. Somebody say amen right there. That's their life. You get a good job, or let's what if the kid don't graduate high school? What then? What if they don't go to college? What then? What if they don't get a good job? What then? What if they don't live a lot of... You know what they're saying? I failed. And they worry. They live a life of worry. I was at the gas pump the other day. Man, it was backed up. People, as soon as they'd fly in there, a little worried. They're thinking, I'm not going to get no gas. People, you go to the grocery store right now, shelves are in it. People are worried. Listen, God tells us, do not act like that. Because when you do, guess what? You're not providing them any hope. If we got a God that really takes care of us, how are we portraying it to a lost world right now? The people you work around, do they see somebody who's worrying? I don't know, guys. I don't know how we're going to do it. Or do they see someone who has confidence in their God who's going to take care of them? He says, for all these things do the nations of the world, verse 30, seek after. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how lost people make it. I don't know how the unsaved make it. I would be scared out of my mind. And I know, preacher, you're supposed to be tough. And listen, whatever. But if I didn't have God, I don't know what I'd do. And I believe God has put us here in 2022 for such a time as this to make a dip. When the economy's failing and there's corruption in the government, I believe He's dropped us right here at 2515 East Industry to make a difference in Salisbury and make a difference in Rowan County to tell the world there is hope. We serve a good God. Listen, the God I serve takes care of me. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. He says, don't have a doubtful mind. Don't have a doubtful mind. I want you to look with me. Verse 24. He says, consider the ravens, for neither they sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. Jump with me to verse number 28 when he talks about the lilies. And then if God so clothe the grass. But can you jump down with me to verse number 30? But when it comes to me and you, He's not just God. He's your Father. Isn't that good, church? He may be a God to the grass. He may be a God to the birds. Hey, honey, but when it comes to you, I'm not just your God. I am your Father, and the Father knows how to take care of His children. Listen to me, dads. Can I just talk to you for a second? You see your children struggling. You see your children hungry. They hadn't eaten in a day. If you're a good daddy, you're going to do everything you can to make sure your babies get fed. This is what Jesus is talking about. Listen, God's going to take care of the grass. God's going to feed the bird. He said, hold on, when it comes to you, He said, oh, you're much more than just a bird. You're much more than just the flowers. You've got a father. You've got a daddy. How many are thankful we've got a Father this morning who's going to take care of us. And He sees what we need. He's my Father. And I love what He says. Verse 24, He says, God feedeth them. Verse 27, Verse 28, God clothes. But then when you get down to verse number 30, it says, for all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your, I love that, personal pronoun, your, he belongs to you. It's your Father. Y'all know today that the world doesn't have a God as a Father like we do. And the neat thing about it, dads, we can have children that are hungry. And you could be on a long trip and you not know that they're hungry. But here's the neat thing about our Father. The Bible says in verse 30, your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. How many understand when you pray, you're not telling God something He don't know? God knows. That issue with your job, God knows. That paycheck, you got more bills than you do money, God knows. The circumstances with your family, God knows. Jesus is telling us that our Father will take care of us. He's aware. He's aware. I don't know him personally, but there's a pastor right up in Wilkesboro who just died, just passed away, young pastor with a family. I don't know this man, I don't know his family, but you know what God does. And the Father's aware, and He's going to take care of that family. That bill that you get that you don't know how you're going to pay. Listen, that child that's out of your home, that news that you got from the doctor. Listen, He's aware and He knows, church. He knows. I'm telling you, if you will just let this seep into your soul, it will help you. A consideration to fathom, a command to follow. Lastly, number three, there's a commandment to fulfill. A commitment to fulfill. Verse 31. The command is to seek not, but then there's a commitment. He says, but instead of seeking those things, verse 31, but rather seek ye first. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, Jesus said, instead of being worried about the food and clothing, the necessities of life like the world does, He says, you need to seek Me. Seek Me. The kingdom of God refers to God's rule here on earth. I mark in my Bible, and I try to connect these things. I'm sure Brother Travis. I take all these things, and then I draw a line down and I circle the next phrase. If you look with me, verse 30, He says, for all these things. Y'all see that? Look at your Bible. Verse 30, all these things do the nation of the world seek after. Do you see that phrase, all these things? All the things that the world's worried about, all those things. But then I want you to look with me in verse number 31. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things. You see that again? Here's what I did. I drew a circle around them and I connected the two. You know what God's saying? You seek Me and I'm going to give you what the whole world's worried about. You come after Me. Instead of seeking all the things, you pursue Me. And when you pursue Me, listen, I'm going to give you all the necessities that the world's losing their mind about. Just seek ye. Seek Me. Seek the kingdom of God. He's saying, if you seek Me, I'll give you what the world is constantly looking for. You seek Me and I'll give you what you need. The world is pursuing, quote, all these things. But Jesus says, if you just seek Me, I'm going to take care of you. You know, we're living in a world, and I'm closing, I'll be done. We're living in a world that's looking for peace. But you know, I'm reminded of what Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They're looking for peace, but they're not going to find peace until they find our Savior. They're looking for peace. They're looking for joy. Do you realize we're living in a time that suicide rate is at its all-time highest in 2022? They're looking for joy, but they can't find it. The world's looking for fame. But you know what Jesus says in Matthew 18:4, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Listen, you may not be somebody in this world, but you've got a Father in heaven that knows you need these things. God knows. The world is full of poverty, but David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Listen, all I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that God's aware. The whole point of this message is to point out that one passage that he says, listen, your Father in heaven knoweth you have need of these things. And as the best of my ability as I can, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop. Take no thought. Verse 25, he says, listen, which of you by worrying. He says, if you worry, can add a stature of one cubit. He's what Jesus is saying is that if you worry, is that going to add any time to your life? He says, it won't. So why are you worrying? If your worrying can change that, which you don't worry. Worry not. Listen, God's going to give us the necessities of this world if we just seek Him. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Does that mean that we're not going to have troubles? Absolutely not. Does that mean that life is going to be easy all the time? Absolutely not. But listen to me, if God's given you breath in your lungs, He's got a purpose for your soul. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, He that which begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19, but my God, there's that personal pronoun, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, take no thought this morning. Stop worrying. Just give it to the Lord. Lord, you already know. God, you know about the health issue. You know about the bill. You know about the tragedy. God, you're aware. You saw it before I'd even got here. God, you're aware. And Lord, I'm not going to worry. But God, I'm just going to pursue you. God, when Jesus called His disciples, He called them unto Himself. God, I'm going to seek you first. And God, I know, God, that you're going to take care of what I need. I'm going to Miss Kelly, where are you? Where's she at? Is Miss Kelly in here? Is she in the nursery? Miss Lisa, will you come and play something on the piano? I was going to get them to sing that song for invitation, but that's okay. I want you to think about this, and many of you have heard this story. How many are you familiar with George Mueller? George Mueller was a Christian missionary evangelist. And he coordinated orphanages in Bristol, England. There she is, Miss Lisa. I'm gonna get them to play that song. I'm gonna get Kevin and Eric. I want to get y'all back up here. They're gonna sing that song. But George Mueller was a Christian missionary evangelist and a coordinator of orphanages. And over George Mueller's lifespan, Over his lifespan, he took care of 120,000 orphan children. You think you got a full house? 120,000. He traveled over 200,000 miles. He preached the gospel in 42 countries. And he challenged believers. But in his journals, he would record things. And there were many times in George Mueller's life, he wrote this down about he got all the children to sit at the table and all the cups were empty. The bowls were empty. There was no food in the cabinet. There was no money to buy food. And all the children were standing by. Many of you heard the story. All the kids were sitting around the table. They began to look at Mr. Mueller. Mr. Mueller, how are we going to eat, Mr. Mueller? Don't worry, children. Don't worry, children. We're going to go ahead and thank God for what He's going to provide. You know what the world's looking for this morning? Let me tell you what God wants us to do. There's people out here that are worried to death. Hey, don't worry. Let me tell you about a God. Let me tell you about a Father. Listen, you may be worried about now, but I've got a God of heaven. He's the Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. He's the great shepherd. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. He's seen it when it started. He's going to be with us when He finishes. Let me tell you about my God. George Mueller, about that time, began to thank God. They heard this. It was the milkman. Milkman pulls up and said, Mr. Mueller, for whatever reason, my milk truck broke down right in front of your orphanage. And listen, I don't have no way. They didn't have no way of preserving that. They didn't have cold trucks back then. He said, so if it be okay, I'd like to give all the milk to your kids. That milkman began to unload the milk truck. And all the kids' cups were filled with milk. after that, they still didn't have anything to eat. Right after the milkman left, they heard it again. It was the bread man. The bread man come by and said, "Mr. Mueller, I stayed up all night. God told me to bring this bread to you." So all those kids who woke up with no food, nothing to drink, God provided. Listen, we have a God that works on credit. Sometimes we just got to get to the point where we thank God. Listen, you may not have it right now, but listen, I've got a Bible that says you're my Father and you're going to take care of me. And it may not look easy and it may look scary and I may not understand it all, but God, I'm going to thank you on credit. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I want you to stand to your feet. Can I challenge you with bowed heads and eyes closed?